Okay, in this hour, we will take your phone calls with Pharmacist Ben, criticalhealthnews.com. Issues that affect you or your friends, you might as well check in with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Pharmacist Ben with us. Ben, I want to congratulate you, by the way, and thank you for the information that you provide to our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, George. I appreciate that very much.
I mean,
it's an honor to be involved.
You care about people. I've followed you over the years, and you know people just respond to you.
Thank you, George.
You got that knack. When you got into pharmacy, what got you into it?
I was blown away by like we were talking before, how a tiny little thing like a pill could create such vast changes on the body.
Yes.
And I was also fascinated what the effect foods had on the body. Not so much the body in general, but on our perceptions, on our minds and on our brain. I was always fascinated with psychopharmacology, and I was always fascinated with the psychomedicinal properties of foods. And when I went to pharmacy school, I was hoping to study food as medicine, food as psychiatric or psychological medicines. And come to find out in pharmacy school that wasn't what they did. We studied mostly toxicity and medicinal chemistry. And then when I graduated pharmacy school, I was a pharmacist for a little bit, but I always wanted to work with foods, and I always wanted to work ultimately with nutrition for the mind.
Excellent. Well, they're lining up here to talk with you. Lines are all lit. Let's go to the phones. We're going to go to Nashville, Tennessee. Tabitha, to get things started here. Hi, Tabitha. You're on with Pharmacist Ben.
Hey, Tabitha.
Good evening. How are you all?
Greetings.
Good.
My question was, how do you feel about, like, what is your opinion? I have heard that people that have schizophrenia or other disorders such as panic or anxiety have a closer link to God and that they are holy people.
Well, you know, ancient people used to believe that. In fact, they were made the shamans of the tribe, were people who were schizophrenic, who were what we would call schizophrenic today. They called them mad in previous times. But the idea was that they would hear voices, and they ancient people thought that they were perhaps connected somehow to the invisible dimension. You know, ancient people had a great respect for the invisible world. Today we say have this kind of saying, you know, we'll believe it when we see it. Ancient people didn't have that kind of stipulation. They believed that the invisible world was populated with consciousnesses and deities and angels and such, and they believed that schizophrenics were somehow channeling, I guess you would say, those kinds of energies.
Ben, in the case of John Nash, where he felt he didn't want to take any medication anymore, something obviously was going wrong with him.
Yeah.
For him to make up his mind like that.
I wish I could have talked to him. I wish I could have been there. I would have told him, number one, start to lower your blood sugar, even if it means fasting, certainly caloric restriction, more grounding foods. I would have told him about niacin. Dr. Abram Hoffer cured schizophrenia with niacin, super high doses of it. He wrote a book called Orthomolecular Psychiatry that talked all about it. I would be telling him about other micronutrients. I would be telling him about hypoxia, that is low blood oxygen, making sure he was deep breathing. I would tell him about the digestive connection. You know, celiac disease and leaky gut syndrome and intestinal permeability run at much higher rates among schizophrenics. I had a friend, an acquaintance, who used to greet me at the health food store here in Boulder when I would get my juice every morning, and he was a schizophrenic, and he would have every morning, his name was Greg, every morning he'd have this big old cup of Coca-Cola, one of those 64-ounce cup things, and he'd be sipping on it, and he would greet me with a schizophrenic kind of greeting, hi, Ben. And one day I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Ben, I hate the drugs they give me. I hate the medicines. And I knew what he was talking about because I had my background in working as a psychiatric pharmacist. And he expressed this such distress about having to be on these psychiatric medications, you know, because they knock you out. Schizophrenics are not retarded. They're intelligent people. They're just fragmented. They can't put their thoughts together. They can't communicate properly. And they have certain brain disorders, but they're intelligent people. And so he didn't like the medication. He didn't like being knocked out. He didn't like the way it made him feel. So I said to Greg, come on, Greg, let's go to the salad bar. And I took Greg to the salad bar, and I got him some eggs, and we got him some oil, got him a bunch of salt, and put like kind of grounding foods, and then gave him some vegetables. And almost in front of my eyes, George, almost in front of my eyes, I could see him starting to ground and starting to get more stable. And that became our little ritual. And sure enough, Greg got off of his medication from food therapy. And Now, as it turned out, poor Greg, I stopped going to this little health food store, and I went back a few months later, and there was Greg again with his big 64-ounce cup of Coke, and he was doing his...
back to his old habits.
Back to his old ways.
And we always tell people, Ben, don't stop taking your medication like that. It's not a good thing, right?
Well, if you have a doctor who's prescribing you a medication, you have a relationship with that doctor. And that means that you almost entered in a de facto contract with him, that you're going to comply with what he's saying, that you're going to work with him, that you're going to inform him if you make changes. It's not fair for a patient just to make unilateral changes when they're in a relationship with a doctor. And I firmly believe that if you're working with a doctor, you've got to stay working with that doctor, or not, if you don't want to work with the doctor. But you can't be halfway in and halfway out where you're going to the doctor, not taking your medicine, et cetera.
Are there some pharmaceutical drugs that you would approve of?
Pain pills and antibiotics. Praise God for pain pills, George.
That you can overdo it, though.
Well, yes, you can. Absolutely. I'm not talking about pain pills for fun or recreation. I'm not talking about pain pills for existential pain. I'm talking about if you break your leg, you know, or if you have a serious trauma of some kind. And if it all goes down Mad Max style, we're going to want to make sure we got some pain pills around. Along with those, antibiotics obviously are important. You know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, if you caught a cold, or if your baby caught a cold, your child caught a cold, they would be dead, or there was a good chance that they would be dead. So, you know, antibiotics have their place, although, again, like with pain pills, George, we have antibiotic resistance now. There's antibiotics everywhere. We're using antibiotics for sniffles and sinus infections. We're giving our chickens antibiotics and our pigs antibiotics, and they're in the water supply. So, yes, you have to have a balance there. You have to, you don't want to overdo it, but pain pills and antibiotics, yes. It's the drugs that they give you that purport to reverse or help in any way, shape, or form chronic degenerative diseases that are really only working with markers or really only working with the signs of the degenerative disease but aren't helping the degenerative disease that I object to. They're misleading. They're not fair. They utilize weasel words. They utilize marketing. They utilize direct-to-consumer advertising that is akin to the kind of advertising that sells Happy Meals and Big Macs. They're manipulative. They're predatory. They're expensive. They have side effects. They're a leading cause of death. I mean, there's so many ways that prescription drugs are an absolute disaster and not only not good for healthcare, they're unhealthcare. They're the opposite of healthcare.
If you can avoid taking them, do so at all costs,
I assume. Absolutely. And if you're taking them, George, one of the things that people don't realize about prescription drugs is they cost you nutrition. And as somebody who believes that at the core of most degenerative diseases is a nutritional deficiency component, to take a prescription drug that exacerbates a nutritional deficiency is particularly problematic. So if you're going to take your statin drugs, or you're going to take your antihypertensives, or you're going to take your autoimmune disease medication, supplement with them, especially for the liver, your antioxidant nutrients, vitamin C, the B complex. It becomes extra important that you get on a good nutritional supplement program if you are on prescription drugs.
Let me ask you this, and we'll go back to more calls. Do these drugs expire? They've got an expiration date. I've always thought that was just a ruse to buy more.
Pretty much, yes. These are chemicals. I mean, if they were 50 years old, they might be a little bit weakened. Over the course of time, their strength will be attenuated.
A couple years won't hurt.
A couple years definitely won't hurt.
Gary, truck driving in Maryland, east of the Rockies. Hi, Gary. Thank you.
Yes, I was wondering if Ben could tell me. I had stage 3 cancer last year, and they removed my entire colon.
Okay.
It's
a tall order because nutrition is absorbed through the colon. It's going to become extra, extra important that you're pounding yourself with nutrients because you're going to have a hard time accessing them and getting them into your blood. Your entire colon, large intestine? Small intestine?
Yes, they took out the large intestines. I'm actually disconnected from my rectum to my small intestine.
Okay, so the large intestine is not as significant. You want to make, absorption occurs in the small intestine. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're doing lots of liquid nutrients, and you want to make sure that you're getting lots of fermented foods and probiotics. It becomes extra important, number one.
Is yogurt a probiotic?
Yogurt is good, but you got to make sure that you don't have any dairy problems with yogurt. So if yogurt and kefir are dairy some people have a problem, some people don't. The best kind of fermented foods, miso, tempeh, kimchi, you can make your own fermented beets. There's a wonderful book called The Art of Fermentation that talks all about making your own fermented foods. Apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is a tremendous nutritional, a tremendous dietary supplement. I won't say nutritional supplement. Very effective for digestive health problems. It's very, it's satisfying. It shuts off your appetite, and that could be helpful for you as well. It sets the stage or sets the environment for bacteria to thrive in. Fiber can also be helpful for you. Make sure you might want to grind up some flax seeds every morning, for example, or grind up some chia seeds every morning. So making sure you're working on digestive health is extremely, extremely important.
You know, because of what's happening with stem cells, is it possible that one day, for example, they will be able to grow you your own colon if you have a problem and just put it back in?
3D printed, George. Have you seen these 3D printed?
Yeah, I did. They're weird.
3D printing for tissue, for biological.
They're doing like noses.
Yeah, the skin and kidneys and organs. This is amazing. Yes, this is the new frontier, but for some reason, it doesn't strike me as elegant. You know, putting artificial skin from a 3D printer doesn't seem as elegant a health strategy as making sure you're using the right nutrition, make sure you're eating correctly so that your body, through the divine force, grows its own tissue.
Well, but it's not a bad backup, is it?
It's a real testimony to human ingenuity and resourcefulness. Sometimes I'm proud to be a human, I have to say.
Well, absolutely. Charles in Baltimore, where they had 26 shootings so far over the weekend. Charles, go ahead.
Yes, that's a lot of shootings, isn't it?
It sure is, sir.
Thank God none of them happened near where I live. But anyway, I got lymphedema. You know, that's where you get your lymph nodes taken out. And your leg gets, you know, real fat and stuff, and you have to. Anyway, you have to eat a lot of protein, and I'm trying to increase my protein because they can see how I get ulcers on my leg. You know, when it starts bleeding and stuff, and I got to go to wound care and all this kind of crazy stuff all the time now. But I've been trying to do a lot of protein, like. For example, I do like your suggestion about lemon and water. I'll keep doing that. I do it some. I'm going to try to increase it every time I take a glass of water.
What a great
Maybe
strategy.
I can do that.
A simple strategy for lymphedema. This is a great strategy for everybody, by the way, because the lymphatic system is a circulatory system like your blood system, except wastes go through it and certain nutrients go through the lymph system. So when the body becomes poisoned over the course of time through foods mostly, there's an important connection into the lymph through the digestive system, the lymph can become clogged up. You know, one of the leading surgeries, probably the number one surgery in children, is a surgery that involves cleaning up a toxic lymph, and that's called tonsillectomies. It's where they actually remove the tonsils, which are part of the lymphatic system. But one of the easiest ways, the lymphatic system doesn't have a pump. It depends on bodily movement in order to circulate. The heart has a pump. The lymphatic system does not. So one of the quickest ways to reduce lymphedema and to improve lymphatic circulation, which is a very important health strategy, is to get a rebounder. You know what that is? A mini trampoline. Get it for like $50 or $60 in a sporting goods store. Do it every morning. Do it if you feel like you're getting sick. And for this gentleman, he may want to consider doing it on a regular basis as well. Moving the lymph around is one of the most important, easy things that we can do to improve our health. You know, George, how they used to say, sometimes you hear people say, oh, my grandfather used to smoke, you know, a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, look at George Burns and his cigars all the time.
Right. Well, you know what? Back in the day, they were farming and they were cutting wood. And they were walking, and they were going to the river and putting water in a bucket and bringing it back home, and they were building their homes out of logs. They were moving their lymphatic system. They were exercising. And this is the missing link that we don't appreciate. We have this sedentary lifestyle, and so we try to if we try to do the same things our grandparents did because we said, oh, my grandfather ate a bunch of you know lard all day and a big breakfast, et cetera, but he was working. So if you want to do something to move your lymph, if you want to do something to increase your longevity and improve your health, a quick pick-me-up is a rebounder, doing a 2 minutes on a rebounder every morning, or especially if you feel like you're coming down with a cold.
Ben, you've got people always standing by to give people information. What's that toll-free number that you have?
Well, you can go to criticalhealthnews.com, and the number is 855-949-7234. It's criticalhealthnews.com, or call 855-949-7234, and we do have people standing by.
Next up, we go to, and Charles in Baltimore, thank you for that. Let's go to Robbie in New York City. Robbie, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Good evening, guys.
Hi, Robbie.
Okay. I am suffering from psoriasis, severe psoriasis, and I'm on my fourth round of phototherapy. It's not very successful.
You want to get rid of it forever?
I want to get it. Yeah, scalp really bad. Body was 90% covered this past
90%.
Okay, that's terrible. And also psoriasis is associated with all kinds of awful health problems later on in life. And
what causes this?
It's an autoimmune disease. It's where the body attacks itself. The immune system goes haywire. You can have autoimmune diseases in the nerves. They call that multiple sclerosis. You have it in the thyroid. They call it Hashimoto's or Graves' disease. You can have it in the liver or in the adrenal glands, and they call it Addison's disease or Cushing's disease. There's different names for the different areas where they happen. In the skin, they call it psoriasis, but it's the same problem. It's a sign that the immune system is cross-reacting with a tissue in the body. It's attacking a foreign invader plus a tissue in the body at the same time. Now, the immune system, this is the most important thing to understand, and there's 80 million people who have autoimmune diseases. It's a very, very important problem. I'm sorry, I think it's like 30 million people have autoimmune diseases, but it's a very, very important problem. The point is that when you hear an autoimmune disease or an immune disease, you want to think of the digestive system. Why? Because 80% of your digestive system, of your immune system, is located in your digestive system. So for all autoimmune diseases, work on the digestive system. And I know it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse here, but this is the beginnings of all disease, and it is where autoimmune diseases and all immune diseases begin as well. So number one, look for food allergies. Number two, if you want to get some quick relief, go into caloric restriction and fasting. Number three, use probiotics, good bacteria. And number four, focus on fat absorption, fatty nutrients in the fat absorption system. Vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E to a certain extent, essential fatty acids, both omega-3s and omega-6s, and the fatty substances that are found in plants that are called flavonoids and carotenoids. Make sure that you're working on fat digestion using lecithin granules, using digestive enzymes, using something called bile, B-I-L-E, bile salts. You can use apple cider vinegar to improve fat digestion. You can use something called pancreatin. There's a whole slew of strategies. And this is so cool because not a single one of these requires medical intervention. And these are truly curative. These are not symptomatic. These are not just while you're on the drug, your symptoms will improve. This is literally reversing the disease process because the disease process is being affected at the causal level. Work on digestion, work on food allergies, work on supporting fat absorption and making sure you're getting your fatty nutrients. And if you want a quick test, fast for a couple of days and watch your symptoms start to go away.
We're going to come back and talk more with you, Ben. Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. The rest of your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, some of you might remember the hit television show Hogan's Hero. Next hour, I'll be talking about the life of Bob Crane, who died tragically. He was murdered. His son will join us, Robert Crane. He wrote a book called Crane, so make sure you're part of that program. Beyond Belief happens to be our television program, and you can watch it with a great program underway right now by going to this website, beyondbelief.com. You can do it now, later, whenever you want, beyondbelief.com. And welcome back. Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. I'll give you that phone. I'm getting lots of emails. People missed it. I'll give it to you at the end of the program here this hour with Ben, so stand by and we'll get calls. Ben, Lyme disease. A lot of people have it. They've been bitten by an infected tick. Some people can fight it with antibiotics. Sometimes it stays in their system for a long time. What do they do about it?
You treat the body as a whole. You make the body stronger. It's so important. You're not going to do anything about the bite. That's already water under the bridge. The way you handle it It's the same way you handle all diseases, George. You make the body strong. Everything we just talked about, the digestive system, the blood sugar system, activating the relaxation nervous system, using deep breathing techniques, these all work because they make the body stronger. You got to be like a bodybuilder. You ever read those weightlifting magazines, Muscle and Fitness? And
no.
Men's Health? Okay. Well, they have always have great tips in there about nutrition and about the foods that you're supposed to eat, all in the interest of making you bigger and stronger and better. Now, their focus is on the muscle system, but really the metabolism is involved as well. You've got to make yourself like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like a prime athlete. You know, if an athlete is doing something for their bodies, we want to pay attention. There's this guy named Chip Kelly. I don't know if you've heard him. He's a coach for the Eagles, and he's revolutionized the NFL in the sense that he's giving his players supplements. He's giving his players nutrients. Why? Because he understands that there are ways to maximize athletic performance. Well, guess what, George? Life is an athletic event. Just getting our butt out of bed in the mornings is an athletic event. Just getting through your day, you know, through the ups and the downs and all the things that happen in a normal life is an athletic event. And so if an athlete is doing something to build themselves up, to make themselves stronger, those are things that we want to do too. That means working on the digestive system, staying away from pro-inflammatory foods, caloric restriction, stabilizing the blood sugar system, getting on a supplement program, make sure you're practicing your deep breathing techniques, and not underestimating the importance of the spiritual, mental, and emotional dimensions. You know, we talk a lot about the physical side of things, and I love studying chemistry, and I'm a, you know, biochemistry geek for sure, but you don't want to marginalize how you think, how you feel, and your spiritual connection to however you want to phrase that as well. So between handling all of these dimensions, you make your body stronger. If you have Lyme disease, you may still have it, but you'll be asymptomatic. And that's really what it's all about. You won't know you have Lyme disease, even if you have Lyme.
Ben, if people want to listen to your Bright Side radio program, how do they find you?
You can go to brightsideben.com. There's a link right there. And we're on every day. We talk about these ideas 5 days a week. Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 Mountain Time, 8 to 9 Pacific Time, and there's hours and hours of archives if you like these ideas. And that's really what this is about. And you know what, George, I called it the bright side because I wanted it to be the good news. You know, we get all of this negativity about cancer and heart disease and obesity and one world government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted a radio show that would be a beacon for the good news about how magical the human body is, how powerful the divine force is, how much access we have to goodness and love and light. And to me, that is the ultimate healing medicine, the knowledge that we're plugged in, that we don't have to be disconnected, that we don't have to be separate from the divine force, and we don't have to be separate from our health. And keep in mind, health and whole come from the same root, as does the word holy. Health, whole, and holy, and they all refer to one thing. And that is being plugged in, being in the flow.
Let's go to John in Sebring, Florida now. Hey, John, thank you for holding in. You're on with Pharmacist Ben.
Hey, John.
I'm sure thankful to get on with Pharmacist Ben Fuchs. I want to ask you two questions, important questions. First, I'd like to share one little tiny bit of humor that, as a former pharmacist, I'm sure you've heard, when the doctor scribbles something on a piece of paper, no one can read it but a pharmacist, and it says, from the doctor, I've got mine, and you get yours. You heard that one before?
No, I never heard that one. That's good, though.
Okay, my mother-in-law, 93, she has so much medicine, I think 12 or more, and maybe she's over-medicated. And in my case, I have lisinopril, tiny little pill, and it says it's for blood pressure problems, and I've never had blood pressure problems. For some reason, the VA prescribed that for me. What in the world? How can that little pill help my body?
Well, here's the deal with blood pressure. Blood pressure is a classic manifestation of the stress or emergency nervous system. I said earlier there's a relaxation nervous system. Well, likewise, there's an emergency nervous system. The emergency nervous system regulates survival threats. It's called your sympathetic nervous system. And under conditions of survival threat, we always make jokes about this. In fact, I blogged about it this week. We always make jokes about how hypertension, high blood pressure is related to stress, right? Well, we're not making a joke. We're saying something serious. If you have high blood pressure, you have some kind of psychological stress, the most important is low blood oxygen. And you can test this out yourself. Get yourself a blood pressure. Do you have a blood pressure cuff, John? If you have a blood pressure cuff, put the blood pressure cuff on, sit on the couch, practice deep, slow, deep breathing. In fact, take a normal blood pressure and then spend 2 or 3 minutes slow, deep breathing, and you'll watch your blood pressure drop like a stone. Or go take a hot bath. That's another way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system and to lower your blood pressure. Or a hot shower will do it. A massage will do it. Meditation or yoga will do it. These are all wonderful, non-pharmaceutical, non-medical strategies that we can employ ourselves with zero side effects that we can do from the comfort of our own living room, and your blood pressure will drop like a stone.
Generally, with blood pressure, they've got two numbers, right?
Right.
What are the two numbers for?
Numbers have to do with when the heart's pumping and when the heart's, what's the pressure when the heart's pumping and what's the pressure when the heart's relaxing. And so
if you're like 120 over 70.
Higher pressure when the heart is pumping and lower pressure when the
heart. And you want lower pressure, right?
The heart is relaxed. Yes, you can have the blood pressure can change on either numbers, on either side. But the bottom line is what the body is attempting to do is shunt the blood into organs that aren't getting the blood or shunt the blood to the organs. It feels need the blood.
So it's pumping harder.
It's shunting. It's actually redirecting. It's doing this really fascinating, intelligent thing. The body has this brilliant intelligence to it. It shunts it. It opens up and closes certain valves. And the net effect is to increase the pressure. Now, it can also increase the pressure by making the heart work harder. And this is why the pharmacological strategy for blood pressure is to poison the heart, George. This is the most mind-boggling idea to me, is that a beta blocker does something called a chemical ablation. It poisons the heart. Who thinks this is a good idea, to poison the heart? You know, they'll even electrocute the heart. They'll do something called a cardiac ablation, where they literally electrocute the heart to get it to go back into rhythm. These are barbaric medical strategies that when they look back on how we operated 100 years from now, in the future, they're going to think we were cave people. You know, they're going to think, what was with these people? You electrocute the heart? Are you kidding me? Are you poison the body with a drug? Are you remove organs? Are you chop off limbs just in case? Chop off appendages just in case? In the craziness of our medical model, it's like we have to be in a trance, and we are. It's a hypnotic trance that's induced upon us through society, through memes, through marketing, through commercials, because it doesn't pass the smell test when you think about it. Why would a poison make you better under any circumstances?
It should not.
It should not, right? If you think about it, but we are in this hypnotic trance, and we're hypnotized, literally, you know, through commercials and through marketing and through authorities, through white coats, and the authorities themselves are bamboozled. You know, who do you think funds the education at the medical schools, you know, or any schools of pharmacy for that matter?
Let's go to Joe in McAllen, Texas now. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, hi, Ben.
Greetings.
Greetings. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Thank you, Ben. I was calling, Ben, I spoke to you last time, and because I have a problem with my colon, and you told me to take fermented foods and antibiotics, and since then I've been on the digestive pack from Critical Health News.
Okay.
And I've been drinking alkaline water, the Kangen water. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Okay, is it recommended to drink it?
You know, it's not going to make too much of a difference either way. Alkalinity, the best way to alkaline, that's a very good point you're bringing up, because you hear a lot about alkaline and acid. The best way to alkalinity represents relaxation, acid represents stress. Acid is a manifestation of toxicity, alkalinity is a measurement of how well the body is being energized. So you want to be a little bit more alkaline than acid, and very little, and it's tightly regulated. And the one way that the body is designed to alkalinize itself, or the main way the body is designed to alkalinize, is oxygen. Oxygen is very alkaline, and when you breathe deeply and blow off carbon dioxide, which is acid, that's the way nature intended our blood to become alkaline. So the best way to alkalinize is slow, deep breathing. And making sure that you're focusing on the exhale a little bit more than the inhale. The inhale actually activates the stress nervous system, the exhale is where the relaxation occurs. And that's why when you're, if you're trying to lower your blood pressure, for example, you want to focus on the exhale. Anything that makes you go, ah, like that, is going to activate the healing system and the parasympathetic nervous system. It's blowing off carbon dioxide, which follows inhalation of oxygen.
Ben, does cancer live in an acidic body?
Yeah, cancer is, whether it lives in, I'm not sure whether it lives in it or it causes it or it thrives in it, but either way, yes, cancer is associated with low pH and acid, which means deep breathing and alkalinizing your blood is yet another benefit is you'll reduce the likelihood of cancers.
We go to Frank now in Hollywood, Maryland. Hi, Frank. It's your turn.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
You too, Frank.
Mr. Fuchs, I had a back injury many years ago, and the doctor put me on Tylenol number 4, which helped me a great deal. But when he retired, the new doctor wanted to give me Percocet Oxycontin. And I said, okay. I said, that stuff is... a lot of people have complaints about it. He said, you'll be all right. So I took it, and what is all the hubbub about it? It did absolutely nothing for me, yet a lot of people get hooked on it.
Yeah, it is addictive.
A lot of people do get hooked on it, and you develop a tolerance to it, and you need more and more of it, and that's what George, you were talking about earlier. And that is a big problem with pain pills, is when you start using them more than you know, for chronic pain. Chronic pain is not supposed to occur. Chronic pain either happens because there's a mechanical issue, you know, trauma, entropy, if you will, or you're doing something over and over and over again, the same kind of thing. You know, one of the problems associated with the way we eat is inflammation. We eat pro-inflammatory foods. And inflammation, if you go to medical school, they tell you inflammation, dolor, calor, tumor, and rubor. Redness, enlargement, pain, and swelling. And so those are the 4 markers of inflammation. And there are foods that we eat that increase inflammation. That means there's foods that we eat that increase calor, heat, that increase rubor, redness, that increase dolor, pain. We eat pain-inducing foods, and many of those foods are what we call processed food. A processed food is a food that has been synthetically manipulated to have way more macronutrients than micronutrients. And the body doesn't do well when there's protein, fat, and sugar, especially sugar, and there's no B vitamins, and there's no vitamin C, and there's no minerals to help the body process those macronutrients, especially sugar, which is why if you're going to be eating processed food, and if you're dealing with inflammatory pain, and you're dealing with a digestive problem, it becomes extra, 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 extra important that you get on a good nutritional supplement program, in my opinion.
Ben, the information that you've passed on to people over the years, it's helped people dramatically. What do you think has been the single biggest issue that people come to you with?
The single biggest issue that people come to me is that they just don't feel good. Low energy, low...
Melancholy.
Melancholy, just no zest for life. Everything that we had when we were 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 years old, for the most part, that's all gone. And to me, that's just a general metabolic biochemical problem, from a physical perspective, a general metabolic biochemical problem that can be adjusted through just a few simple techniques that you can do from the comfort of your own living room. Now, keep in mind, that's only from a physical level, and I always have to say this, spiritual, mental, emotional, and then physical. And you got to work on all those dimensions, but from a physical perspective, Not only that sense of ennui, of boredom, of just not feeling right, of lack of energy, of lack of joie de vivre, but every single chronic degenerative disease, whether it's autoimmune, whether it's cancer, whether it's a digestive problem, whatever it is, there are simple strategies that you could use that if you can't completely reverse the disease process, you can feel a lot better. And that's really what it's all about, George. It's feel a lot better. Can anybody say that a medical intervention made them feel a lot better with the exception of, you know, healing a trauma of some kind?
A trauma. You know, you're right. For trauma, medicine is phenomenal.
Trauma medicine is awesome. But can anybody say they feel a lot better from if they're on an antihypertensive drug, or they feel a lot better if they're on a steroid drug, or if they feel a lot better if they're on a biologic therapy or a mental health drug or an antidepressant? No. They can say they don't feel as bad, maybe, or their symptoms have ameliorated a little bit, but nobody's going to say that they feel absolutely spectacular. But if you incorporate these strategies, no matter what your health condition is, if you incorporate these strategies we're talking about, George, whether or not you completely cure yourself of your multiple sclerosis or of your, you know, your autoimmune disease or whatever it is, you're going to feel a lot better. And that's really the bottom line.
We go to Donald in Pasadena, Texas. Hey, Donald, we'll get you in here. First-time caller.
Hey, Donald.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was just wanting to make a comment. I come from a long line of pharmacists, and I've seen on this on the webpage, Mr. Fuchs here been compounding for since 86.
Yes, he's a compounder.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was my specialty, and
pharmacist.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And my dad, actually, you're familiar with PCCA.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, my dad was a founding member.
King? Was he a king?
1001.
Was he one of the kings? Oh, he was one of the first pharmacists.
First pharmacist to sign up. Between my grandfather, we had a store for 50 years. We actually had four stores in 81. And what was becoming really hard is finding chemicals. So when PCCA came around, that was like the main reason my dad signed up was, you know, a source of chemicals. And what a lot of people don't realize is up until World War II, basically everything was
all compounding, right?
Yeah.
And there were some drugs, but a lot of it was compounding.
That was the way to do it. Ben, we're almost out of time. Compounding basically very quickly is what?
It's when you make the medicine.
Simple as
that. You make the stuff. You know,
those were pharmacists.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those were pharmacists indeed. Ben, get out your website and your toll-free number again before we say goodnight.
CriticalHealthNews.com, CriticalHealthNews.com, and the number's 855-949-7234, 855-949-7234.
Ben, thanks. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Okay, bye.
Ben Fuchs, he's got his own radio program, too. It's called Bright Side Radio. He does a great job, great public service for a lot of people. Up next, you remember Hogan's Hero. We're going to be talking with the son of Bob Crane, Robert Crane, about his father's life. His work is called Crane. That's next on Coast to Coast AM.